If I have my gun with me, I don't fear anything.
The NRA was quoted as saying, that's the cost of liberty.
Anyone who's on the terrorist watch list should not lose their Second Amendment right.
If you're on the terror watch list?
That's a good one.
Firearms in the hands of good people save lives.
More guns does not make you safer.
You're with us or against us.
8:22 in the morning. How about a balanced, fair look at the problem with guns in this city and in this country? You know, we talk about this all the time, Dave. You know this.
Mm-hmm.
This city of Chicago is one of the greatest cities in the world. And what's the national and worldwide image now? You're going to come here that somebody's going to shoot you. You know, that's not who we are.
Nope. But unfortunately.
There's a documentary that debuted at Sundance. It got thunderous standing ovations. They were how do we only get one microphone for you guys? Can we buy it?
Here.
Somebody run over to Best Buy and get a second microphone.
There we go.
Thank you.
Not that you guys don't like each other, but I think we can do.
We felt like a girl group all of a sudden.
Yeah, what's with that? So the Spice Girls doing the interview.
Yeah.
Katie Couric's here. Nice to see you again.
Nice
it's been
to
a long time.
You. I
think
know.
The last time I saw you was in New York at Z100.
Oh, my gosh.
A long time ago. Stephanie Sodig is here, the producer, director, writer behind this. Stephanie, what's the inspiration for you? I mean, I know documentaries are in your blood, but why this?
I mean, the story really resonated for me because I grew up in Brookfield, Connecticut, which is right next to Newtown.
Yeah.
So, and I was pregnant when the Sandy Hook massacre happened. The idea really originated with Katie, though. She called me and said, you know, how does this keep happening? And, you know, can we take a look at this? And so, I had thought, hasn't the story been covered already? We hear about gun violence quite a bit. And when we started digging in, I realized, you know, that we really have barely scratched the surface. I mean, the things that we unearthed were just so surprising.
And it's not stuff you're going to see everywhere else. It's not stuff that's been covered before or been beaten into the ground. You know, Katie, Newtown, as parents, as most of us are, Newtown was the worst day in America since 9/11 for me. I mean, it just made me physically ill. And the fact that nobody was able to get anything accomplished after that is beyond heartbreaking. It's sick and disgusting.
You know, that's really what motivated me. I went up to Newtown after Sandy Hook. And that Sunday evening, I actually was invited into the home of Mark and Jackie Barden, who lost their son, Daniel. And their whole family had descended into their home. And it was so heartbreaking to see his older son, Daniel's brother, you know, just have to deal with this and sister and parents. And then I thought, everyone said it's a watershed moment. Yeah. Something's going to happen.
Right.
And yet nothing did.
Well,
and
what, so did, I said, what did is people bought more guns.
Yes, exactly, which happens after most mass shootings. And I said to Stephanie, I don't understand. And I think that's what really drives me to do the documentary films that we've done together. I did Fed Up with Stephanie in 2014 about childhood obesity. It's a very simple question. Why?
Right.
Why is this happening? Why is America getting heavier and heavier and more unhealthy if we've been talking about obesity for 30 years? And the same with gun violence. I said, why does this keep happening? Why, you know, what is it going to take? And I just wanted to kind of peel the layers off the onion and see what were the obstacles that were keeping us from getting gun violence in this country under control.
And again, and this becomes a political football. Nobody is going to be able to walk into your house and take your gun if you're a legal gun owner. So drop that argument.
Touch that argument in the film that we did. We said, okay, everyone has a Second Amendment right to buy and own a gun. So taking that aside, how can we, you know, do something reasonable that will keep guns out of the hands of the wrong people?
Right. And Stephanie, this week we saw a statistic. There was a horrible story. This little two-year-old riding in the back of the car grabs a gun from the back seat, shoots mom in the back and kills her while she's driving the car. And a couple days later, we see that toddlers have killed more people this year than radical Muslim terrorists in this country by having access to guns. It's insane.
And I think that's how we have to treat it. So you stop. I think if we take politics out of the equation and treat it as a public health epidemic, that perhaps will make a lot more headway. I mean, if 33,000 people were being killed by anything else in this country, we would have acted by now.
Of course.
That's what Mark Barden says. And I think one of the things this film shows is the wide-reaching tentacles of the gun lobby. Stephanie mentioned it's a public health issue, but the gun lobby has prohibited the CDC from even studying gun violence in this country for fear, I think, of what they'll find and for fear that that will contribute to the discussion, God forbid. So that's just one of the things that surfaces in this documentary, I think.
One of the biggest problems here in Chicago, of course, are gangbangers and gangbangers having access to guns. But what we know is access to guns is too easy for everybody. And when something like Newtown happens and we go to more guns in this country than there are people in this country, men, women, and children, is it fear-mongering? Is it the gun lobby you're talking about trying to sell more guns? Does it come down to money? What do we find out?
I think so. I mean, you do. You see every time that there is a mass shooting that gun sales go up. And so the gun lobby has instilled this fear in what's really a very small percentage of gun owners. I mean, when you look at it, the NRA really only speaks for 5% of gun owners at best. And so what we're seeing is that it's not that more people are owning guns, but it's that a smaller population is owning more guns because there's this fear that's being instilled that guns are going to be banned or the government's going to somehow.
You know, it's funny. I don't know if this is in under the gun or not, but the thing that strikes me is because I grew up around hunters. I grew up in upstate New York around people that love to hunt and collectors and shooters and things like that. And I got no argument with anybody that's a legal gun owner. But legal gun owners have to hear the argument that if you don't come to some common sense solution to push the NRA to do the right thing on some minor changes and to stop pushing it the way it is, you're going to run into a problem where the politics and the wave of sentiment in this country is going to change. And there are going to be some draconian measures taken about your guns, right?
Well, yeah, what's interesting to realize, though, is 74% of NRA members actually favor background checks.
Right.
They're shocked and appalled that you can be on the terror watch list and yet buy guns in this country
it's just
legally.
Dumb.
So I think that when you look at, and one of the gratifying things about this film is Stephanie and I have had many gun owners come up to us and say, thank you for representing us. We're reasonable, rational gun owners, and we are so happy to have our point of view represented in this film.
Katie, you've covered stories like this for years. I mean, and it just becomes a number, and the face doesn't even matter in many cases anymore. What would the solution be? Because you've seen mothers and families coming up to you saying, we need to do something. We're going to march. What can we do?
Well, I think you're never going to completely eradicate gun violence. But I think, you know, one, I want to make sure we talk about Chicago because we, you know, a big portion of this film is about Chicago. And I think Bad Apple Gun Dealers, first of all, they're 5% of
5% of gun stores are responsible for selling 90% of guns recovered from crime scenes.
And so these Bad Apple Gun Dealers, which we profile one, Chuck's here in Chicago, they sell dozens and dozens of guns, no questions asked, which are then resold in Chicago. And so there's just more guns than people. And I went to a support group called Purpose Over Pain in Father Flager's church to talk to parents who had lost children to gun violence. And what's really important, I think, to note is they said, you hear the local news reporter say it was gang-related.
Right.
Well, oftentimes it wasn't gang-related. Oftentimes
right.
these kids are caught in the crossfire. And these are parents who are just like all of us in this room. They are trying to do the right thing. They're really
absolutely.
You know, concerned about the safety of their kids. Their kids are good kids. They're going to school. They're trying to, you know, build a life for their families. And, you know, for us to marginalize every victim of gun violence in the inner city by saying it's gang related, I think does them a real disservice.
Well, it's absolutely factually wrong. 99% of the people in the toughest neighborhoods in Chicago and New York and L.A. and everywhere around the country just want to do the right thing. They want to get up in the morning. They want to have their kids have a chance to maximize their lives and to go to school and do sports or whatever. And they're just worried about their kids getting to school and getting home. And some of these kids are getting shot in their own house.
Right.
So you know, a bullet comes through a wall or a bullet comes through a window in a drive-by.
April 21st, Chicago had 1,000 shootings, more than L.A. and New York combined for the same time period. So, and it's just a couple of neighborhoods. It's not, you know, that's what's most troubling, too.
Under the Gun airs for free on Epics. Epics, by the way, is terrific. I think you ought to pay for it, to be honest with you. But it's
You'll be able to do that down the road.
Okay. It's Sunday night, May 15th at 7 o'clock on
And you can go
Epics.
At all day on epics.com. You can stream it all day long.
Oh, beautiful.
You know, for you cord cutters out there.
All right, excellent. And by the way, the premiere is tonight at the Chicago Cultural Center. I know you guys got to get to TV, but we can
No, we have time.
Okay.
I love being here. This is so fun.
And how about the
and
studio?
And I love radio, by the way. Yes.
Well, you're great at it.
So
how about
nice.
The studio?
And
right?
I love Chicago.
Oh, this is a great
My mom
city.
Used to say, you should move to Chicago, because she used to live here when yeah. she met my father
yeah.
many years ago. Many,
well, you should
many
have moved
ago.
To Chicago. It's not
yeah,
too
I tried to get a job here, and they wouldn't hire me. The local
what?
News guy would not hire me.
Which
I was
station?
Like, damn.
Yeah.
I think it was the NBC affiliate.
Yeah, we fired him.
A guy named Dick Lobo.
Yeah, Dick's out.
Anyway, he's really nice, and we became friendly when I worked at NBC. But, I mean, I really, really tried to get a job here.
Did you ever call Dick and go, I'm doing fine, and hang up on him?
That no, kind of I think I called up and I said, nah, 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 nah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Thanks for
talking.
Okay.
Do you know who I think I am? That's usually what I say.
I usually go, do you know who I used to be?
Yeah, I say that, too.
It's 8:32. We're going to continue with a big story in just a second, again, with the guests. Under the Gun premieres Sunday on Epics. Epics free preview weekend. It's Stephanie Sotig and it's Katie Couric. And when we come back, I want to ask you about the Bosleys in particular. Okay. First, quick break and then back. The big story continues with Under the Gun being the discussion. A very important film we insist that all of you see, and we're expecting a report. Now here's Andrea.
Yeah, big story. We're going to continue our conversation with Stephanie and Katie Couric. I guess, what was the thing that most surprised you when you were researching this and when you were learning? I mean, and the numbers and the stats keep piling up. But what really was your aha moment where you both, either of you said, oh my gosh, I can't believe that?
I mean, I remember the first one, really, was when I started digging in and when I saw that 40% of guns that are purchased in this country are purchased without a background check. And that just blew my mind. I mean, I couldn't believe it. And we do on the film unearth so many more, you know, mind-blowing things like that you can, when you're, if you're on the terror watch list, you can't board a plane, but you can legally buy a gun in this
It's
country.
Just dumb. You have to laugh. It's just dumb. How can that even be a rule? And how can anybody go, well, that seems right?
Well, I think, you know, people like Rand Paul and, you know, other politicians, Lindsey Graham, that I've sort of heard talk about this, feel that some people are mistakenly put on the terror watch list, and that should not deprive them of their Second Amendment rights. But my feeling is, get off the terror watch list, even if you have to go through some bureaucracy
yep.
And,
yep.
and then maybe buy a gun, rather than risk the chance of people on the terror watch list legitimately purchasing firearms. I don't know. It just makes sense to me.
Katie Couric, you get asked to do everything, and it's a part of the privilege of a great career and who you are, but you have to decide where you're going to put your time and what you're going to do. Obviously, being a parent, this matters to you. But are you at a point now where you're saying, I think we can actually move the ball on this based on what you see in Under the Gun?
I mean, I think so. I think what you're seeing is this groundswell of a grassroots movement. You have Moms Demand Action, which was started by Shannon Watts, a woman in Indianapolis, and uh-huh. now there are chapters in every state and millions of members. There are organizations like Everytown that has been spearheaded by Mike Bloomberg to put sort of dollars into supporting candidates who have sort of, you know, positions about reasonable gun regulation. And so I really do think we're witnessing a slow sea change, because I think a lot of social movements now are starting with social media. You know, there's a lot of negative things about
sure.
social media, but there are a lot of positive in that they can coalesce like-minded people and get them motivated to really move the needle in a certain way. And so I think I do get the sense that people are kind of saying, hey, let's talk about this. And I think, you know, it doesn't have to be the polarizing issue that the gun lobby wants it to be. You know, they gin up some of the more extremist members, and that's where they get paranoid, and they say registration will lead to confiscation. They're going to come get our guns. It's a slippery slope. When you see the common ground of 74, do you think I've had enough coffee, by the way? Of 74%
no,
of the gun lobby.
No, you're
74% of the
Katie,
gun lobby.
You're
no, but, you know, you see that there is a lot of room for agreement in the Venn diagram of gun owners and anti-gun people. There is a lot of overlap, and I think that's what we have to take advantage of. And I think our goal in making this film is to give people the knowledge they need. They hear things like straw
right.
purchase, bad apple gun dealers, the gun show loophole, proceed default loophole, right? And or default proceed loophole, where after 3 days that the FBI doesn't have time to do a background check, like the guy in Charleston. That time ran out, and that's why that guy was able to purchase a gun.
Well, you know, the thing I'd add, too, and again, I really want gun owners to hear this, because I defend legal gun owners. As I said, I grew up around them. The fact of the matter is, nobody's coming to take your gun, as we said, and you have to stop, and you have to just put common sense and layer it over all of this. We all want the same thing. We don't want kids to be killed. We don't want your neighbor to be killed. We don't want somebody that got fired to walk into work and shoot a bunch of people today. Gun owners don't want it. You don't want it. This government can't get out of its way to solve anything. Do you actually think they're going to turn turn over an amendment of the Constitution and the Second Amendment. So just break it down to that. Your guns are not going to be taken away. So you're able to keep your guns. So don't you want better chances for the rest of us to get on a plane or to go to work and to be safe? We all want the same thing.
We do.
So let's get after it.
And I think this film is very much for gun owners. I mean, we just had a screening and a woman came up to me and she said, I'm an NRA cardholder. I had no idea this was going on and I'm appalled. So I find that incredibly exciting.
That is exciting.
I think what she was referring to is not only the CDC not being able to study this as a public health issue, but really sort of malevolent kind of underhanded things like making sure the ATF doesn't have computerized records. So when it comes to tracing guns that were used in the commission of a crime, it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. We show the headquarters and it is absurd that they have been prohibited, thanks to lobbying from the gun lobby, to have their records computerized. Yeah. It's absurd.
We hear the term, and part of that, a common sense gun laws, we hear that all the time, especially in Illinois, common sense gun legislation or laws that need to be on the books. Do you hope that this film will be a catalyst at least for that, the basic steps?
I do. I think that there's some really low-hanging fruit, like universal background checks, which we see, you know, work. And I think so. I think documentary films have really shown to be an incredible vehicle for change. I mean, you know, we refer to the Blackfish effect and what happened at SeaWorld. And, you know, and even, you know, Fed Up. We get mail all the time where people stop us to say how much Fed Up changed the way they ate. So I love the idea that we can, you know, arm people with the truth, because up until now we've been really fed a narrative that was constructed by the NRA.
The good news here is we've gone through this entire two-segment interview without mentioning Trump or Hillary, for that matter, and we won't. But before we go, I mentioned the Bosleys, and just last question before you guys have to run out the door. Tell me about the Bosleys in the movie.
Yeah, so Pamela and Tommy Bosley lost their son, Terrell. He was a phenomenal kid who was doing well in school and played on every sports team. And he was shot outside of church, of all places. He was going in for band practice at church. And he was shot and killed. And what's interesting about the Bosleys is we wanted to juxtapose the response from the country to the Bosleys versus what happened in Newtown. When you see what's happening in Chicago over a 4th of July weekend, it's the equivalent of a mass shooting almost every day. And you know, during that you got 4th of July here is not necessarily the best place to be.
Well, no, but again, in these neighborhoods where people would like to go outside and have their picnic and be able to take their kids outside.
Yeah. Have you heard this? They told us when we were here, Father Flaker said that they call it the hunting season in summer. And he said, you know, when the temperatures go up, it becomes a really difficult place to live. And we just found that heartbreaking. And so to see the outpouring of support that came from the country, rightfully so, by all means, right? Newtown deserved that outpouring of support. But why isn't that happening in Chicago?
Right.
Why aren't they not getting the same support?
And the Bosleys are phenomenal people. I mean, I felt so privileged to sit with those parents and to be able to share their story.
And the courage of them to sit here and go, yeah, tell our story.
The courage not only to deal with the loss of their son, but then to become activists and to really want to do something about it.
God
bless
them. They
are incredibly inspiring.
Thank you guys for doing this.
Thanks for having us.
This was so fun.
Yeah,
I like this radio thing. You don't have to put on makeup. I like
actually,
it.
Actually, I'm wearing full makeup.
You look great.
Thanks. I appreciate it. It's Under the Gun and airs for free May 15th, Sunday, on epics.com. 7 o'clock, but you can stream it all day. And
Oh, no, I lied about that. You can
you
only
stream
start
it?
Streaming it at 8. I'm sorry.
Okay, well,
I'll
give you the money. But go to epics.com, sign up. It's good for you. But make sure you see Under the Gun and tell your friends about it and spread it socially as well, if you would. All right? We'll take a break. We'll come back. Traffic. And thank you to Katie and Stephanie. Thank you guys very much.
Thanks for having us.